It's Great Mondays Radio. I'm Josh Levine, your host, founder of Great Mondays. We help executives from hypergrowth technology and social enterprise organizations build cultures that attract, engage, and retain top talent. If you'd like to be a guest on our program, hang out for about 20 minutes and I'll tell you how. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Great Mondays Radio. Boy, we are busy. These organizations, leaders are busy trying to bring in the latest software, AI, and digital tools. And I feel like we are overwhelmed with all these digital IT upgrades. But you know what we haven't been upgrading are the people. And today on the show, award-winning author and fractional CIO, founder of Digital Wisdom Collective, is Barbara Whitman. She is thinking a lot about this disparity in the digital upgrade versus the human upgrade, and has what she thinks is the solution or the answer to how do we get those humans to get come along, because we or she is going to convince us, make a case that we're not doing our best if we don't get the people on board as well. AI ain't going to do everything. Barbara Whitman, welcome to Great Mondays Radio.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here on a Monday.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Beautiful, beautiful. All right. So you make the case that we need to create like a new structure. We need to kind of reframe and rethink, right? You're talking about, and I love this term, human infrastructure, which you would say does not exist in a robust manner at this moment. So tell us a little bit about kind of what your, like, what brought you to this moment, and what are we talking about when we're talking about human infrastructure?
So for the past 25 years, I've been fixing broken transformation projects. So that has always been my forte. When everyone picks up and runs, that's when I come in. And what I found is a common pattern that it was never a technology issue. It was always a human issue. And it doesn't mean that people didn't have the know-how on how to fix it. They simply didn't have either a seat at the table, were not empowered, or were not brought together in the right structured way to collaborate. So whenever I went in to fix a broken project, the only thing I needed to do is empower the right people. And basically the answers were in the organization. So me as a consultant, I was basically just compiling and transporting. So I was like, well, you know, that's not exactly a sustainable way for organizations. So I compiled everything into a big toolbox and a mentoring program, if you will, where I share what I have picked up in my many projects. And it basically targets the middle of the organization. That's where the human infrastructure lives and breathes. And to me, transformation in organizations doesn't have happen top down or bottom up. It ripples from the middle out, because that's where the people sit that make strategy executable.
Do you mean, so the middle of the organization, we're talking about managers?
We talk about managers. We talk about all the people that understand end-to-end processes and that are core assets in every initiative. And it doesn't necessarily have to be somebody that's sitting in IT. It's usually people in business. And it usually is the people that everyone gravitates to when they have a question. They usually are very quiet ones. They are not the loudest. You know, as I'm saying that, everyone that's listening may be thinking of one or two people exactly like that in the organizations that are the quiet trust holders, basically.
So two questions. Why is it that you've so in your experience, you found that it was these people that were the leverage points or something like that
Yes.
in to, for these change initiatives, but they weren't. What happened? Were they missed? They weren't utilized in the right way? Like where? Like they? Like you said, they weren't empowered, or people just didn't like the folks who were doing the transformation. Just were like, I don't know. They didn't see it.
Yeah, they usually they are getting missed. They have the answers, but they don't have a way to speak up. So if you put your ear to the ground, in any organization, if you honestly ask the middle layer of the organization to say, "Hey, is the path we are on, is that working? Are the tools that we are using, are they the right ones?" You would usually get a very honest answer. But no one really goes and listens.
That's right. Yeah. What, so what have you learned that needs to happen with these people? So you're essentially, is it just that you're gonna go and listen and find all of the, you know, hey, where is this broken or where does this need to, you know, happen? Are you just gonna extract information from them or is there something else that happens with these folks?
So they usually go through a 6 months empowerment and mentoring program, and it's essentially it is a mindset shift or a mindset program, because most of those people feel like imposters because they are not the IT people, and who would listen to me, that kind of thing, and I didn't go to university, what do I have to say? So all these things that are going on in their heads. So the path of the least friction for companies usually is to hire expensive consultants, and they basically pick up the ideas from exactly these people and turn around and do it. So you can have that a whole lot cheaper. And the other piece is with software upgrades, we have test systems. We test new upgrades, new processes until we set them live. But when we train people, we don't give them a sandbox, a test environment. So I also give them a sandbox where they can play with others outside of the echo chamber of their own organizations. And basically, it's a cross-industry exercise. It's a trusted group. It's a safe space. And they can actually leverage what they have learned new. They can ask all the things they never wanted to ask. And then they can go back into their organizations and apply what they know.
Okay, so just to go step by step here, you're the case that you're making, right? So your experience is organizations are transforming, it fails, you go in, help them fix it. But you are making the case, we're going to connect these two things now, that this needs to be happening all the time, which is why
Yes.
that investment of grabbing these kind of these quiet leaders from the middle and actually training them how to do this work is so important. So you're, and I want to get to the sandbox in a second. So you are teaching them how to, like what, like the power that they have, that they actually have more power and what are they doing? So tell me about what you're teaching them and then what are they doing with that?
So we start with values. What are the personal values, and what is actually grounding them? And we go through a step-by-step program, and we look at limiting beliefs and thoughts, habits. So it essentially is a cleanup program for yourself, because how could you possibly upgrade a culture or an organization if you don't upgrade the individual? So it essentially is a self-development program that also teaches you how to then apply yourself in a better way in a collaboration environment, in a problem-solving environment. So it is a learning about you and how to really tap into your superpower, but it's also about how do I amplify that and how do I establish and connect the dots for a collective intelligence.
What is collective intelligence, since you brought that up?
Collective intelligence is something that we desperately need to build. Collective intelligence makes the human infrastructure piece really click, and that is the counterbalance to what we call the artificial intelligence. So How do we develop the smarts of the organization? And you cannot really upgrade everyone at the same time, and not everyone may be able to upgrade to the extent. So that's why you have to pick certain people, upgrade them, and they will inspire others to also stretch and become better, and they will start holding the fabric together.
And does it work with just one person that you kind of do the upgrade with in the 6-month sandbox program, and then it starts to spread, or do you need kind of multiple nodes?
It is a starting point, and that's what we initially started with 2 years ago. What we have learned over time is that it is a lonely place for that one person. They
That's right.
usually do remain in our infrastructure and to get empowered and continuously upgraded, but it is a big stretch for one person to really make the leap. So our recommendation at this point is to have four people so they can start building their own in-house ecosystem, and they can really, start empowering themselves pretty much.
Okay, so the sandbox, you're teaching them how to do what? Be I mean, so you just okay, so you did say this is kind of a self-improvement methodology, right? Like talking about limiting beliefs, some of the and we've had a few guests recently come on and talk about some of these pieces, self-awareness, for example, right? So is when we're thinking about the sandbox, is that then become kind of moving from self to others, like where you start to create a relationship or experiment with how to
Exactly.
influence?
It is a collaborative problem solving. So every participant can bring a challenge they have either in leadership or, within a project. And then it is how do we collaborate together to solve the issue and how do we give input? That teaches several things. One is we really hone a structure. We have a four pillar structure that it's you need to understand the issue before you jump into a solution. That's, by the way, why many, many, many projects fail, because we are like, ooh, I've done this before. Yay, let's go.
I know how to do this.
So it really is it's a repetition, right? We only ingrain new behaviors when we repeat it. And the other piece is that they learn to listen to other voices because it is across industry and also across functional group. They're like, wow, that UX person, I would have never asked her, but she really had something good to say. Maybe I should reach out in my organization and, be a little more bold too and ask other people.
What is a reasonable goal when you think about the ideal state where you've brought in four of these quiet leaders? I don't know, I'm just calling them that. You've taken them through this. Like, what happens then next? And what, like, if we're thinking about this idea, right? We talked about at the top of the show, this like constantly upgrading is it meant to, are they meant to go get two of their friends and then they get two of their friends and then, inside of the org, like how does this, what can an organization or a leader expect when we think about the speed of upgrade?
So in an ideal organization, you would reach a tipping point when you have about 25% of your middle leaders, in that new mindset and in that new way of collaborating. So with four people, most companies, and let's face it, the smaller companies are easier to change these things. So with four people, most companies would already be in great shape. Ideally, these four people stay connected. They keep in the practice. We also offer them to stick within our alumni group, where they can continue to hone what they know in monthly calls and such. Yes, I mean they are the coalition of the willing basically, and their job is to infect others. And it's either by how they carry themselves in a new way, where it's like, wow, this is cool. I really like when you lead meetings. That's the usual thing that happens. That's perfect. And maybe some other people in the organization appear where it's like, well, they would be the next ones to go into the training, but usually the ones that have been trained appoint the next.
Yeah, so that was my so my next question when you mentioned sort of this your tap you're having a regular kind of post training call. One of the questions that I had is about kind of the energy and the exhaustion, right? So if you're one of four up against inside of a larger organization, whatever it is, it's like it at first it just takes a lot of energy, and I wondered where these people kind of are able to go and recharge. And is that a function of the kind of the calls? Are they do you teach them, you're like, hey, or do you warn them this is going to be hard and then you're gonna like have to do some other recharging or so? I don't know, I'm calling it recharging, but
I
like it
mean,
that's my experience, right? Where it's just like, oh
right.
man, this is hard. I don't know that I could do it for another 6 months, right?
No, totally. And that's why we keep them in our little environment, because others can, you can get discouraged if you have a really crusty structure in your own organization. Even if you have a C-level or a top management sponsor, which is mandatory, by the way, it can get exhausting. So that's why we offer the monthly recharge point, and it is mainly to celebrate wins, because that is usually what we lose sight of, because we always remember first and foremost all the things that didn't go so hot, and we could come and lament forever, but we want to really foster a new way of thinking.
So forgive me if we've already said it, but I do feel like it's important to underscore. Talk to me about the tangible outcomes. So when we're thinking about we're talking to these people in the middle, we've given them the upgrade, the chip. What happens to the organ, like how does the organization change? 'Cause we started with we have one thing to do and we're going to change from this to that. But now we're talking about constantly, and so it's hard to like you're like, well, what does that look like? What are we really talking about? Like, what is I think the question is, what's your vision for a successful organization? What are they doing that these people are going to help you get to? What do we need to do to survive and continually transform in this kind of crazy age we live in?
So the first thing that will be visible, and that's the lowest hanging fruit, is you save about 20% of consulting spend. Because with empowered middle management people, they will be able to fix and speak up a lot of issues that you have outsourced before. So that is a very short-term goal. But where you want to get to as an organization is you want to have honest feedback on where there's sand in the transmission when you want to go execute your strategy. So in an ideal world, or in a very active middle layer that is transformed, you would have somebody who can, play and pressure test things that are being thought up in C-level.
I see. So connection to or access to the C level and permission to
The challenge.
prototype and expect or challenge. Yeah, right. Okay. Is this actually what you mean? So, I mean, that in and of itself is not an easy thing to do. Is that what you, when you're talking about executive sponsorship and it's like, hey, this person's going to come to you and call you out. Is that part of it? Is that what we're talking? Like you're training the organization to be able to sustain that? Because I'm gonna tell you my experience, not a lot of C executives like that, right? They don't want to hear from that.
That's true, but if you upgrade your middle, you also ought to upgrade yourself. So, that is the most honest feedback you can get from people on the ground. And it takes a special type of C-level leader to hear it. Absolutely. So is what I'm doing for every organization? No.
Yeah, there's a pre sort of preconceived like assumption about what you're willing to do, and you have to have that hard conversation and say, do you want this? If you don't want it, then ain't nothing I can do, right? You would say, right, to help you.
And there's different levels of, how far you really wanna go. You can also send some of your middle managers through the program, and they just feel better about themselves, about their job. You know, they're happier in taking out friction in the programs they are running. If you want a full transformation of an organization, yes, that will need more legwork.
Yeah, sure. If you want it more immediate, right? Like the ripples, it's going to take a while. What I like about this, and what echoes with me, is the and I didn't share this with you, Barbara, but in my experience, having done a lot of these culture transformation programs, the most successful tool that I employ is the idea of building a group of culture ambassadors, right? And those typically 12-ish people are the kinds of, and I don't didn't use exactly the same words, but I think it's almost exactly the same people, right? Implicit leaders, high potentials, folks that they really believe articulate or live the value that you would love to have, or live the culture that you would love to have. And so to me, when leaders think about, oh my God, what a headache. Like, we're going to change everything. Like, this is, and you try to, you know, eat everything in one gulp. What I've observed and what you are articulating is, no, we're going to start with just a couple folks, and those people already have that kind of built-in relationships to be able to do more with. They just need to be empowered to do that work.
Correct.
That's really, really interesting. What if you, okay, so if someone listening here has one of those quiet leaders on their team, or if they are a quiet leader themselves, what is one or two things that they can do to start helping those folks be able to activate their superpower, you know, in you know, co moving into, you know, the next quarter?
So the first and the easiest thing to start is to look at your personal values and really do a little bit of thinking around that. You know, what is important to me when I carry myself in the job and as a leader and just generally as a person? That can be a really good compass, if you will, to say, you know, let's just reconnect to that. A lot of people forget about it. We all have them, but it's like it gets just buried in the whole hubbub of the day.
Why is this important? I mean, look, I'm Mr. Corporate Values. I
You're
get
Mr.
it.
Value.
Yeah, you're right. Tell me, make a case. Why is that the place to start? Why is that so important for an individual?
Because that's what grounds us as a person. That's why we're doing what we're doing. And we're constantly, you know, we constantly have the company values that are displayed, at least some have them. And we always think that we need to assimilate them, but we forget about our own. So if trust is important to me, that will inform how I communicate, how I make decisions, and who I let into my close bubble at work.
So understanding ourselves in order to help us make the kind of decisions that we need to be authentic, right? Like, to
Exactly,
so we're not
exactly.
grinding against ourselves.
And the other piece I would say is surround yourself with people that are a little bit further ahead than you. Don't surround yourself with the naysayers in the organization or the people that constantly sit around and lament. There's so many of them. Seek out the people that have a positive outlook, that see opportunities, that, you know, maybe are a little bit higher in rank than you. And just get curious because they rub off. You become who you surround yourself with.
I like that. Yeah, and you know what I like? What I think is so compelling about that is, and this is part of a trend that I am picking up on, is self-reliance and sort of self-action as opposed to reaction. I'm just sitting here in my group, and I'm surrounded by people who are lamenting, as you said. No, like you have the ability to go and connect with other folks that you consider someone that you might want to be like or aspire to in persona or personality or stature, right? Like that is, and to me, there that's another recharge point, right? Where you're like, that I want that, right? Like I want to feel like that, I want to be like that. That's like those are the choices that I'm making. I think that's a really, really smart, even, I mean, for anybody. I think that's inside of an organization, it can be, you know, we're coming to work can be draining, or it can be, you know, something, you know, charging. At least you have the ability, the little charging station that you can go and connect with. Hey, can we grab some coffee? Can we, you know, have a quick call? I want to hear what you're doing, being up to. And it's not part of your official job description, but you know, it's hard to say what is and isn't these days. So fuck it, I don't know. You know, like it's just like we gotta expand, right? We gotta be sort of expansive in our perspective of like what we're doing and how we're doing it, I would think.
Right. And all these old rules that exist, who you ought to talk to and what you ought to do. I mean, I would question that. What I see a lot is that especially the middle in the organization feels like the pinball. They always find excuses why things don't work, and oh yeah, but we can't do anything about the strategy, and no one listens to us, and there's always something. But then, when they discover that they actually have a power to change their immediate work environment and how they are showing up in it, magic happens. It's like people come into the program and they're like, "Well, I never got promoted." And then they turn things around and they actually come up with a concept on how to, change the strategy of their little work environment, how to be an asset to the company, and hey, lo and behold, they get promoted. So even if you think there's not much to do, you have to get out of the victim corner because there's always something to do. And if you are thinking that, oh, I just need to change my job, well, guess what? What brought you in the corner there is going to follow you.
No matter
So
where you go, there you are.
yeah. Yeah.
Right? So it's I guess cognitively dress for the job that you want. Right, like
Right.
it's like the same concept. You've got to act like it before you get the job. You got to go out and do the things for yourself. And I think really interesting. I mean, I appreciate. I think what is really compelling about what you had to say is this framing that you have, and you're pulling together a lot of principles that I never thought to connect. And this construct of, hey, you're investing so much in the AI tech, like these people need to be working. And we all know anybody who's done culture work or even HR work understands that it's about the people doing the thing. I don't care how many AI agents you're running, it's still the people. And you got to be able to get them to work better. And yeah, it is a major paradigm shift. Where it's not just about one-off trainings. Hey, go to this conference. This conferences are great for networking or for recharging, but there's a real dearth of these kind of core skills that we need to understand and we need to start with ourselves. And I just so appreciate that you've taken it from the kind of the IT world, and you've come from the IT world and say, hey, everybody, I'm here to tell you it's not about the tech, or not only about the tech, I guess.
I mean, the tech is here to stay and it's amazing, but how do we use it in a good way? And also, how do we think ahead a little bit? Because at this point, if we think AI and how we use data, we need to think ahead to the next generation or maybe the next two, And what is the experience we want our people and our clients to have when they interact with our company? So it's very different angles we need to look at, and it is very interaction and human driven. So the best thing we can do is we need to train how to be better humans.
Hear, hear. I love it. Love it, love it, love it. Award-winning author and fractional CIO, founder of Digital Wisdom Collective, Barbara Whitman. You can learn more about her amazing thinking about the human operating system and how to upgrade it at digitalwisdom.co. Barbara, this was such an enlightening conversation. Thank you so much for finding Great Mondays Radio and making the time to come on.
Thanks for having me. It was a pleasure.
Thanks for listening to Great Mondays Radio. Hey, if you want to be a guest, head over to radio.greatmondays.com. And if you think this episode was interesting and your friends and fans would enjoy it, please share on social media. And if you want to get more people to understand the power of company culture in business today, please rate and review Great Mondays Radio on your podcast feed. It really helps us reach more people. If you want to hear more candid conversations with culture leaders, subscribe to Great Mondays Radio. I'd love to connect with you. Find me on LinkedIn at AKA Josh Levine, on YouTube at Great Mondays, and you can always email me, josh@greatmondays.com. Find out more about our work with hypergrowth technology and social enterprise organizations at greatmondays.com. I'm Josh Levine. Thanks for listening to Great Mondays Radio.